Psalm 80 verse 70 says, "But let your hand be upon the one at your right hand, the one whom you made strong for yourself. Then we will never turn back from you. Give us life and we will call on your name. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved." John 6 verse 35 says, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But I say to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and anyone who comes to me, I will never drive away." Matthew 11 verse 28 says, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Here ends our scripture readings. May it be that you and I this morning will discern God's will for our lives as we listen to scripture and as we meditate about what we had heard. And we are now approaching the table of the Lord. And for today, we are definitely not alone. Today is World Communion Sunday. God's people across the world are gathering around similar tables to eat and drink together as a sign of what binds Christians across the world together, here, everywhere. Now, friends, I have to remind you that eating together is also an American pastime to the detriment of many of our waistlines. When we first came to this country, Tinka and I couldn't believe how much the Americans seemed to enjoy eating out. In our fatherland, that was something that if we were lucky, we did maybe twice a year. And here it happens, as we all know, a little bit more often. Amongst the biggest sellers in bookstores, of course, are the cookbooks and the diet books. Now, a sad fact is that the cookbooks tell you how to prepare the food to make it real, attractive, and delicious, while the diet foods tell you how not to eat it. Still, that's our way of life. We read them both. We enjoy the one and try to do the other. In the Christian world, in a different and special way, eating and drinking is intimately connected, a central focus point to celebrate our personal faith in Jesus Christ. And there is something unique and special about the Lord's table. And I want to point out to you that when gathering around the Lord's table, more of our senses than usual come to play. We become involved in a way that words can never really accomplish. Long ago, Jesus said to those who followed him, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Now, of course, that brings us to our first question. Now, how can Jesus possibly be bread for our lives? Now, when I first read it, I already got the suspicion and now I'm very sure because my faith tells me that it has everything to do with the sacrament of the Lord's Supper and the reason why we celebrate it. Jesus invites all of us to come to His table, which is a feast with a table, a space, a room for you, each one of you, and for me. Now, I grew up in a church where this was not the case. We as ministers were specially trained to watch carefully that no one would dare to use the Lord's Supper unless they qualified. And I spent many Saturday evenings interviewing people who so badly wanted to come to the table the following day, but they had to jump through the hoop of getting permission first. Moreover, there were many in those days in segregated South Africa who were definitely not allowed. Oh yeah, we had no complaint. They could have their own communion somewhere out there if they so please. Nothing to do with us. But in here, no sir. No welcome. Sorry. That's how I grew up, and I know that's how some of you also experienced your early life. We all invited. And this truth is the reason why we celebrate World Communion. It's central to our Christian testimony to the world. The Lord's table is indeed a place with room for all, everyone. A loving God calls us to God's arms through Jesus Christ. No exceptions. Now I found a tidbit in history that really illustrated this point to me from a secular side. This truly happened in British history. It happened at the funeral of Admiral Horatio Nelson. And you know he was much loved, much revered, and much honored. And on the day of his funeral, a party of his sailors carried his body into the cathedral. And for that day, the casket was draped in a magnificent Union Jack. And when the moment came after the service, with reverence, they lowered the body of the world's greatest admiral into its tomb. Everything went perfect. Everything went very orderly. But then when they were dismissed, they broke up and they did the unthinkable. Some of them turned around and they grabbed the Union Jack. And they immediately start to grope it and stretch it. And finally they ripped it apart. And the smaller parts were ripped by others in smaller pieces. And there the scuffle took place. Each one wanted a souvenir of the illustrious dead. Now they say that for the rest of their lives, they who were present treasured that little bit of colored cloth because they felt that it kept them connected. And they felt that they were in Admiral Nelson's presence, and especially those who knew and loved him found it very precious. I've got a piece of him, they said, and I will never forget my Admiral. Now, you can already see the connection. In a sense, when we leave here this morning, each of us will take something of the same experience with us. When eating and drinking to God's glory, we reach out in faith and touch God in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. But the strength and the power of living in communion with God through Jesus Christ goes even far, far deeper than that. Our faith gathers us from all over and make us one. We all came from different places this morning. Our homes, our vacation spots, from wherever. We came, and as we entered the sanctuary, we became part of the gathered community of God's people. Here, today, we will be eating and drinking, true to our American custom. But in the process, we will reach out and celebrate God's presence in our lives. We will be reminded to whom we belong and how we were bought. My friends, some years ago, I went through a personal experience that touched me so deeply that I've been using it, and it still seems to be a part of my concept about communion. It happened at the conclusion of the powerful film called Places in the Heart. Some of you have seen it. Sally Field, Morgan Freeman, and other known actors play in that. For me, it has everything to do about belonging to God's family on earth. Then you know the movie will say, how could it be? Because we know the movie. It's set in the Deep South during the Depression. And it tells about the tragic death of a father of three small children. What really happened in the movie was the young African-American accidentally shot the father, resulting in his own lynching and his own death. And the widow of the young father is in the process now, poverty, depression, of losing her home through foreclosure. So valiantly she's struggling to keep her home and the crop of cotton on which everything depended. And then unexpectedly into her life came a drifter, an unemployed black man by the name of Moses. And he helps her harvest her cotton, gave her good advice, and together they tried to salvage her farm. Eventually, though, the operator of the mill didn't like the idea what was happening there, because he was after the widow's ground. So eventually he was a member of the clan, and they finally beat Moses and ran him out of town. And then in the process, there's also a young couple, loved one another initially, and finally they drift apart and their marriage breaks up. And then when you think, now I've come to the end of this tragic litany of things that's happening, then at the end, the movie supplies an alternate ending, something that could have been the ending of the movie if it wasn't due to what was happening in those days. It showed how things could have ended in case greed, corruption, and racism played no role at all. So Places in the Heart then ends with a magnificent imaginary scene depicting what? The local congregation, like us, in worship, in communion. And now, the miracle happens. The camera zooms in, and there all the murdered and already dead people suddenly appear. They sit in the pews. What are they doing? They're sharing communion, and they're sharing the communion in a depression area church. They are celebrating as brothers and sisters in Christ. And as the people receive the bread and the cup, it becomes clear that this is no ordinary congregation. The camera zooms in on every face. Ah, there is the widow, and there is Moses that was ran out of town. Oh, there's the widow's dead husband. He's not gone after all. Oh, and there's the black man who killed him, who was lynched afterwards. And there's the banker who wanted to foreclose on the mortgage. And there's the greedy cotton gin operator. He's also there. And wow, there are sitting the members of the clan, and amongst them, the African American tenant farmers. And there's the couple whose marriage had been broken. They're also there, but now they're reconciled. All seem to be at peace with one another as they reach for the bread and wine. It is as if to say, here is the one place where there could have been healing for us. Here is a place different from so many other places, so many other circumstances. Not all of these tragic things would have happened if we only knew the peace that only Christ can give. Here is the one place, here is the one table where there is room for all. Here is the one place where there is living food. Here is the one place where there is life. Here is where we are a family. Here is where we can reach out, where we can touch another, and through Jesus Christ, we can touch the face of God. Maybe I'm just accounting for myself. I pray not. But that is why the Lord's Supper moves us in a way that nothing else can. No wonder the sacred meal moves us as much as it does. Truly, Jesus is the bread of life. He's the bread of your life. He's the bread of my life. He touches me. He satisfies my deepest needs. He reaches out and touch each and every one who would just in faith reach out and touch him back. But more than that, he allows us to touch one another. He allows us to reach out and touch in faith those around us. At no other time we come closer to touching God through Christ that when we eat and drink from the cup. O God, let it be true for us, for you and for me, not only around this table, but as we go out to serve God in the world.